again, it's not just about recording all the things that you did well in the past. It's about using that to inform and dictate how you behave in the present and the future.
And if you want to treat this a bit like a layer cake or an onion, there's levels to it. And I think inside every limiting belief about the environment, there's a the gift of some limiting belief about ourselves that we get to explore. I can't stop. Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of Mentality Monsters, where today I am joined by Feja, my good friend and co-host, to do a bit of a unique episode where the two of us are going to be looking back at the first quarter of the year here in 2021 and celebrating our personal wins. And the reason we're doing this is to really showcase and display the mechanics of what this looks like. I saw a friend of mine this past week posting on Twitter about his job as a teacher, and he was going over each of the different roles that he holds, how he serves people, and really it was an in-depth recognition of how awesome he was. And this is an incredibly powerful practice. Everybody knows how this works. On some level, when you purchase a new car, let's say it's a gray Toyota Corolla, you start to drive around and notice all the other gray Toyota Corollas. So when you have a practice of sitting down and saying, what are all the ways I've won this week, this year, this quarter, you start to pick up some momentum mentally and emotionally in your ability to recognize where you've won and where you're a winner. And that builds with time. So it's an incredibly important practice, and one I'm excited to share with you personally, and I'm excited to hear Fedge's. I have not spoken to him in advance about this, so I'm excited to hear where he views himself as a winner.
I had a good amount of wins. It was a good quarter.
I think we all do.
Yeah, it's been a good several months, and it's been a good, I'd say the last 5 to 8 months of my life I've been on a hot streak. So going back and thinking deeply about all of the elements of the past 8 months was an interesting experience, not just because you see a list of all the things that you believe you've accomplished, also because you start to dig into each one and understand why they're significant. And then that reveals additional themes and ideas that I would say are oftentimes more foundational than just the win itself. And those foundational themes and ideas help you build in the future and then create new wins that you'll in time come to be proud of. So yeah, it's been a good last couple of months for sure.
Even knowing how powerful this practice is, I caught myself off guard by the accumulation of them as I was writing them down, really. And the audience, you'll see this and be privy to it, shortly. These can be whatever shape, size, color, you deem to be appropriate for yourself. It could be something as small as I clean my room once a week. That feeds an identity of being an organized, clean person. How we do one thing is how we do everything. And so, when you have that practice and that habit of, I have a clean room, starts to touch every other area of your life. So whether it's a big win or a small win is really a matter of opinion.
One of the things I like to do in this vein is to each night before I go to bed, I lay down and I have a little journal and I document small wins that throughout the day for that specific day. And like you said, it could be anything. As simple as, you know, making your bed, cleaning your room, or like the thing that popped into my head was, oh, I finally got a haircut. When you document these things, you start to record all the ways that you're positively contributing to your day. And that starts to reveal how many times you win, no matter how small. And then you can take those little notes and look back on them every week or every month and say, like, oh, of all the wins I had each day, here are the major ones. And then after each month, you can say, of all the wins I had over the major wins I've had over these weeks, here's the biggest ones for the month. And then you start to have a more robust record of all of those things that you do well. And it builds confidence. That's a huge element to this exercise as well. You want to reassure yourself that you have evidence in your past that justifies whatever level of confidence you have in the moment.
A lot of people, as I like to put it, live in the neg. They live in the negative. And you may encounter these people at work, or hell, it could be friends or family. And this is also a practice of protection and reinforcement against how influential that can be on our own thinking. In my opinion, it's one of the biggest reasons, you know, I do this, because there's such a bias towards the negative. But I don't really think I need to go into too much detail on that. It's fairly evident across society, social media, you know, you name it. And so this is a protective practice.
I like to think about it this way. And this just popped into my head as we were talking through it. Every year, it's common for people every year, every 6 months, to have like a performance review at work. And think to yourself how difficult it is to list out all of your accomplishments over a year when you're asked to do so for a performance review at work.
Yeah,
I've done this. I've been a professional for 10, 11 years now. And every single year, I feel like you always have to dig deep to remember all of the things that you've been doing well over the course of that period of time that review applies to. The same thing's true in your personal life. Like, if you don't have these checks with yourself, like check-ins with yourself frequently, it's easy to forget all of the things that you accomplished and all the things that you did well. And then forgetting that, as I was mentioning earlier, forgetting that impacts your confidence when you're trying to accomplish things in the future, in the present and the future, when you're setting goals, when you're doing, you know, any type of reflection, all of that is broad, like your confidence levels are decreased if you don't have a solid understanding of all the ways that you've succeeded in the past. So yeah, think about it. When you frame it that way, it becomes obvious. Like, yeah, I totally should track these wins much more frequently, because the best solution to that problem that I described about, you know, performance reviews in at your job is to just, you know, once a month, write down all your wins for that month. And then you have a laundry list of all the things that you can put into your review. If you treat your own life in a similar way, you can have a quote unquote performance review for yourself and contribute in the same way that you would in your job.
And when you do it yourself, you're creating the scoreboard for your own success, nobody else. It's frustrating when the review gets there and the manager gives you feedback on things that don't matter to you. You know, maybe that job doesn't even matter to you. Lots of people are in this situation. But that actually becomes quite tolerable when you have your own measures of success that you've established and set up for yourself. So this is like anything, any cleanup process. It gets a little dirtier before you truly clean it. So you may list out 100 things that you view as a win, and as Fedra pointed out, that there are a couple diamonds in there that become real pillars of value, you know, for us moving forwards. you know, where you lean more into those things and you become a happier, more satisfied person.
Dude, at my old job, I was, and this will tie into the when I start listing out my wins, but I was interested in finding areas of growth for myself. Like I identified that, hey, I need to develop in some ways. And so I pulled like 3 years of performance reviews to see like what my manager was saying and what the areas of improvement were from the company's perspective. And they were legit copy and pastes year over year of the same exact things. And I saw this and I was just like, oh man, this is either I am just stagnant or these people are lazy. And I'm willing to bet that more often than not, the manager is lazy. But that was such an eye-opening thing to me because it's like, man, the same exact words, the same exact focus areas for 3 years in a row. And the same story that I was being told by my managers for 3 years in a row. That just it just reminded me of all of that. It's fascinating.
Well, you've evolved, my friend. And let's,
yes, and certainly let's, have.
And let's hear into what?
We're definitely a different person. So let me walk you through how this went for me. So I started digging through like all the things that have changed in my life in the past, like I mentioned earlier, 8 months or so, because I did have a major change. I switched to a new company. I moved to a new state. I'm now in New Jersey, no longer in Pennsylvania. So that period of time was like a big inflection point in my life, both professionally and personally. And so the way I thought about this was, okay, let's think about how things went from a professional perspective and let's think about how things went from a personal perspective. And there's a lot of blending between the two, but those two buckets are like the major areas of my life that I put a lot of focus into these past 8 months. And when I listed out all of the things that I did and all of the things that I perceived as being wins, I realized that there were two fundamental themes in everything that I did, both in my professional and in my personal lives. And those two themes were, the first one was betting on myself. And so this is, I demonstrated a lot of wins in, first and foremost, believing in my ability, not only to succeed, but also to adapt and evolve. And then a lot of the wins that I experienced were the outcome of that belief and that commitment to delivering on that belief. So that was the first major theme. The second major theme was adjusting my environment to support the lifestyle, goals, achievements that I want for myself. And that theme of environment and ecosystem is another way to think about it, was something that it took a long time for me to realize how important that aspect of life in general is. The way that you position yourself on a micro and a macro scale is a large contributor to the success that you experience. And the most clear manifestation of these two themes came in my professional life because of, that was such a big change for me. And I can go into the details why, but those two things are, in my mind, the understanding and executing on those two things were the biggest wins that I had. And I think they're going to be the most impactful elements of the things that I achieve in the next 10 years.
So let me see if I got this right. You believe in yourself and you deleted things that didn't align with your values or held you back.
Yeah.
100%. Winning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said it a lot more eloquently and concisely than I did, but yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to. And as I list through every single thing that contributed to that, it becomes obvious that that was the major focus of my past 8 months or even longer. really, because this all starts. So in the professional sense, both of those teams were most powerfully manifested. So where I was about 8 months ago was that I was at my previous company, and a year prior to me leaving, like 16 months prior to me leaving, COVID had started. And at the time that COVID had started, I had a plan to, I had decided that I was going to quit this company. And I was like, I can't survive here anymore. It's not going to work. So I'm going to quit and I'm going to go travel around Europe for 6 weeks. And then when I come back to the US, I will start looking for a new job, like move, do all the things that I want to do. And I booked every element of this trip, hostels, flights, rented cars, all the whole nine in like December of 2019. And March of 2020 rolls around and COVID hits. And I would say that COVID happening was a very fortunate event for me, because when obviously my trip got canceled, right? Europe was completely shut down. Thankfully I didn't get trapped in Europe. That would have been a disaster. But B, COVID was a moment of pause, because when it happened, my number one concern was job security. And so I was like, okay, the company I'm at now, they're a privately held company. They're not pressured by the whims of the market. And so I'm going to be secure. So I need to hold tight until this all blows over. And in that time that all of that happened, I realized that I needed to work on myself. And there were specific developmental areas that I identified that I then committed to growing in. And B, I also realized that that environment was like that company, no matter how much I improved myself, I was never going to thrive there. Because whether it was the perception that I had built of myself, or the culture of the company, or my willingness to fight through it anymore, I just knew that even if I became this like optimal performer, I would never make the leaps and bounds that I wanted to make in my career and that I knew I could make. So this goes back to the belief in myself. Like, I identified that, yes, I was a major component of my lack of growth the past couple of years, but also the company would hold me back even if I did everything I could. And so fast forward to where I am now. When I had that realization at my old company, I realized that I could just experiment with no risk, right? So like, you're in this environment where you're trying to develop these skills. I focused on communication, influence, sales, how to make decisions, like critical thinking ability. And I just started practicing in a low risk environment, because I knew like worst case scenario, I would just leave the company so I could just tinker. And I actually did grow in these areas, because when I started at my new company, all of those things, all of the skills that I had added were instrumental in my ability to deliver immediate value and create a reputation that far exceeded anything I had ever created or achieved at my old company. And there was one moment recently. So I was given a significant pay raise a couple of weeks ago, and
winning.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was something that I wasn't expecting or like asking for. It was just a typical merit cycle. And I was given a good bump. And that was a manifestation of the value and my performance up to that point. And this had happened in 8 months. This is the biggest validation of my work that I've ever received in my career. And this moment to me was like the final, like achieving the final milestone, you know, because I had put time and effort into growing. I had changed my environment, and now that environment was validating all of the things that I was doing. And this to me is significant for a couple of reasons, because this theme of growth and changing environment and making sure that you're setting yourself up, positioning yourself for the success that you think you deserve. But also it lets me close the book on this whole previous company chapter of my life. Like, it's been 8 months since I left that company. Like a lot of my initial time at this new company was spent comparing my experiences at my old one. And now I can finally, like, I've proven myself. I've set up a reputation, a perception. I have credibility. Now I can close that chapter and focus on maintaining that momentum and continuing the growth and value that I've established. And to me, that is the most significant thing. I feel liberated and I don't have to worry about what happened in the past anymore. I can look to the future. And I feel that that is a huge weight off of my shoulders because, again, like, you're looking forward instead of looking back. So to me, that whole story, what it boils down to is that these two pillars, the personal growth and the environment, like, you can control both of them, and you have to be aware of which one is going to hinder you the most. If your environment is good, but your own personal commitment is not, then enhancing your personal commitment can make you go far. But if your environment sucks, there's no amount of personal commitment and growth that you can demonstrate that will produce the results that you want. And so not only thinking about yourself, but also thinking about your environment is critical to that achievement.
The fun observation from my perspective is that deletion, the subtraction of, you know, number one, the negative environment, but also, contextualizing, like, retroactively, you deleted that, right? Like, that you deleted the narrative of who you were, in the past or in that other environment, irrevocably. And I would say, yeah, that happens when you track these wins, folks. You're going to be the guy or the gal or, you know, whomever that, you know, could have made it in high school, but you tore your ACL, you know, for the rest of your life, if you don't create a new definition of success for yourself. And so, yeah, I've been friends with Fedger for a long time. So, man, I'm proud of you, dude. It's a phenomenal story.
Thank you. And I want to, the other, so a lot of the stuff I didn't realize until I started preparing for this conversation. One of the other important outcomes of knowing this, like being aware of this now and being able to close that chapter, is that let's project out the scenario where I didn't understand this and I stayed rooted in that past. And I kept hearkening back to my time at my previous company. Well, that manifests itself in a lot of ways. Like I would bring it up in conversation. I talk about, like, oh my God, like, you know, my previous company, I would, when I first started at my new one, I would say things like, I really appreciate that you guys are attentive and care about me as a person and this stuff, because I didn't get that at my old company. Like, I was making these comments and telling these stories that were always related to that past experience. If we fast forward, like me being at my current company 2-3 years where I'm enjoying a lot of success, and I keep talking about that old experience I had, everyone I work with is going to be like, what's this guy's deal? Like, are we not enough for him? And then that's going to start skewing people's perception of me in this new environment that is so good and supportive for what I want to do. And so, again, it's not just about recording all the things that you did well in the past. It's about using that to inform and dictate how you behave in the present and the future.
And if we want to treat this a bit like a layer cake or an onion, you know, there's levels to it. And I think inside every limiting belief about the environment, there's the gift of some limiting belief about ourselves that we get to explore. And even though you exited the environment, you hadn't graduated from that limiting belief about yourself yet.
Yeah, 100%, man.
So it was still staring you in the face.
Yeah. The other thing I have to mention, this is the last thing I'll say. I have to, because if my wife ever listens to this, she'll slaughter me if I don't say it. I made a kid. So my wife is currently pregnant and we're expecting in September. The biggest win there is that we were very fortunate enough to like to have an easy time of it. And I think it took us about like 2-3 months in total of trying. And from what I understand, this is not like ultra common, but I always perceive this as being like a validation of how compatible she and I are with each other and how aligned we are with each other, both like physically and emotionally and metaphysically. So that is another major thing and a huge shift in my life that I'm preparing for. That is the most exciting thing that has happened to me ever in every aspect. So, it is really cool and I'm looking forward to it a lot. And we don't know what we're going to have until it's born. So there's this awesome element of surprise too, that is enhancing the experience even further.
Yeah. Well, Fedge is the first one among my, close friends to have a kid. So I'll let him test run the whole thing and go from there.
It's funny. My wife is a type A personality and she like,
yeah, me too.
We were talking yesterday and she was like looking into maternity leave policies and like freaking out. She's like, what if the baby's like this? What if it's like that? Like, how am I going to breastfeed and work and like all this stuff? And my response, and it's so funny, the difference between our approaches, like she's trying to plan every moment of this baby's life already. And I'm like, I'm just laying there like, come on, it'll be all right. We'll figure it out. I'm like looking around. I'm like, God, there's so many less capable people who have figured this stuff out. Like, I'm sure we'll be okay.
There's less capable people. I don't know if they figured it out, but
yeah. Yeah. So, it'll be fun. That's another big one. And, you know, talk about believing in yourself, like my belief that I'll be able to be a good father and raise a good human and all of that stuff. It's that's a huge leap.
It is. It is.
All right. Enough about me. What were your wins?
Yeah. So far, I would like to contrast, you know, how Fedja did it. He looked at, you know, categorically a couple areas, you know, of his life and, you know, extracted wins that were really belief-based and, you know, behavior-based. And again, referencing the earlier part of the podcast, I had a friend who dove into all of the different identities he takes on as a teacher and all of the ways that he exudes, you know, mental and emotional toughness in a given day to do the job. And so that was, you know, his way of celebrating his own wins. And so I've got my way of doing it. Broke wins out into, we'll say, three specific areas here. And the first area I want to cover is relationship. So at the outset of the year, after recognizing quite some time ago that my fiance's love language was, number one, acts of service, and number two, gifts. I wrote down that I would carve something out quarterly that I would do exclusively for her. Quarterly sounds a little infrequent, but you'll get where I'm going with this. I would totally take myself out of it, sit down and reflect on, you know, what it was that she would want. So I made certain that I have at least one act every quarter of the year that I'm completely divested from and is purely for her. And I can proudly say in the first quarter of this year, I did two specific things. One thing is compounding. So it's a little thing that compounds day after day. And the other one is outstanding. The compounding one is that I completely own here domestically dishwashing and vacuuming. And I do these tasks according to her definition of what done and complete is, not my own. I understand that what I consider to be done and what she considers to be done are two completely different things. So I've adopted her definition of done. I understand that, and I execute on that. That's a little thing that compounds each day, each week. The second thing was that after her and I took a trip and her mom was there, we were planning some things out for our wedding. I booked her a massage the day we got back, which was a complete surprise to her, because I know that, you know, I thrive on interacting with people and talking with people. I love that. For her, a little less so. You know, she enjoys alone time. So I said, after this week of interacting with planners and being out and about and, you know, with her mom, I would get her a massage. She could have her own time as soon as we got back, and it was a complete surprise to her. So I'm proud of the fact that I divested myself, you know, from these things. I get, you know, nothing out of it personally. The acknowledgement of what I'm doing is enough, and it's for her. And I place this first for a couple reasons. One is to communicate, hey, these wins can be whatever we want. And secondly, because I believe that our relationship feeds every other facet of life, success and happiness, you know, you name it. Inevitably, I can aspire to be anything I want in the world, and the health of this relationship will always reign supreme. And when I look at wins, one of the things I do is extract a singular affirmation from the whole story, which will, you know, serve to remind me when I'm leaning into that or not. And in this case, it's my relationships feed my life. This keeps me in the servant identity, because by serving others, my relationships grow, and that feeds, you know, my life, really. So I created that affirmation from the observation that all of this was done and manifested itself. That's win number one.
That is awesome. I love the, I read a quote somewhere, I think it was this morning, actually, serendipitously, that when we have a solid understanding of where we want to go, we become flexible in how we get there. And
I believe that
your example is, I think your wins are a prime example of that. You know where you want to go in terms of your relationships, especially the one with your fiance and soon to be wife. And so that liberates you to be creative and flexible in how you accomplish that. And the reason I love that is because the idea of buying your fiance a massage is so simple. Like, it's not that much money. It's like almost no effort. And you get a huge win out of it, and you fill her love. What does the guy use in the five languages? Her like love jar or something like that. It's like, yeah, some filling metaphor, but yeah, you fill her love tank up and she feels loved. And then you mentioned that you're completely, removed from the benefit of that, but you do get a benefit from it.
Oh, absolutely.
You get the benefit of the win.
Completely. So through the lens which I created that statement of, that I'm removed from it, it's not like, well, I went out to dinner with her. Like, I also enjoyed
the dinner. Yeah, it's something experience. Purely for her. Yeah.
Correct. Which believe me, yes, I do. So it's an important distinction. If I can't get enjoyment from fulfilling the other person's love language, that's a red flag. Like, if I can't enjoy it just for the sake of that, then there's a tyrant slave element to, right? And this can go, no, seriously, like, we have relationships with everything around us. So it could be our job. It could be hell. Our fitness, right? Are you literally a slave to your workout? Are you a slave to your job? That comes down to, you know, have to versus prefer, or have to versus want to. It's one of the most dangerous distinctions, you know, in our language. So none of these things, like, I wash the dishes. I don't think I have to do that. Not for a second. You know? And it came from a want to. And yes, that's absolutely something that is fulfilling for me.
Yeah. I think the have to and want to thing is like, it's a hard topic to navigate for me because so much of what we do is a have to. Like, you have to do the dishes. You can't not do the dishes. I think that the fundamental aspect of it is more, how do you transform the have to's into want to's?
Yeah, I would say, you know, to your point, technically, a lot of these things do have to get done. Question is, when you really explore what it can mean for you to have it done always, the act of doing it just becomes like it's.
Yeah, it becomes a want to, even though it is a have to.
Right. Exactly. So,
what were the next ones?
Number two, I, again, at the outset of the year, committed to a singular habit, in this case, swinging Indian clubs, which represented three things I wanted to be true about myself, and I now know these things to be true. It is that I have trust, durability, and joy. The trust part comes from the fact that I did this activity daily, and I tracked it. I was okay with however that happened. Could have been 2 minutes of practice, could have been 2 hours, whatever. I did this as well under the tutelage of a world-class practitioner. So I believe someone who hammers a nail for 50 years, that doesn't make you a carpenter. It's important to be refining your technique and your skills, adding, compounding, growing, improving. And so in the process of doing this, under the tutelage of this mentor, I became one of about 20 people in North America certified to teach this technique of Indian club swinging. So for the durability piece of it, it's been, the Indian club itself has been used for upper body flexibility, health, strength, and range of motion for centuries. So it serves the durability piece. And, lastly, it's an element of self-expression. It's joyous, and I love doing it. So when I look back at this whole story, I have trust, durability, and joy. That's the affirmation that I extracted from looking at that experience. I was really deliberate about putting in the language that I have it. I'm in possession of those things. And some of those are big white whales for me, particularly the joy. And in certain areas, trust. So by creating that affirmation, it reinforces that I have an allergy to things that don't align with it. And I will shy away from engaging in things that don't align with that. So that's why I love the utility of affirmations, because it's not supposed to feel completely perfect and be totally enlightening when you formulate it, because there will be areas where it's not true. And it's an invitation to get real with yourself about where those areas are. So
it's interesting to me that you mentioned that you don't have, that you've been seeking the joy piece.
Yes.
Because knowing how we grew up, like Kyle and I were like active athletes. We weren't, neither of us was like supremely talented or anything like that, but we were really athletic kids when we were growing up. We were swimmers. Kyle did track. I played basketball casually and also like ran as well. And I mean, not to mention even you doing the Ironman triathlon just for the shit of it, and then like all of those weightlifting adventures that you went on. If you look at those things objectively from an outside perspective, it's like we were both doing the things that you would ascribe success to, like. You're young kids, young men, and you're like pushing yourself, you're challenging yourself, you're exercising, you're doing all these things that theoretically contribute to your goal of durability, but require a lot of commitment, and you're exhibiting that commitment. But the reason the joy piece was interesting to me is because it seems like that commitment wasn't coming from a joyous place. It was coming from something maybe darker. And it's completely different when you are doing things that make you happy. I know that like all of that is probably like a bland statement, but these are also all thoughts that I'm having in real time. And so they're not crystallized, but to me, there's a lot of significance in that aspect of joy that you talked about.
Yep. That was the main one, that I was really shooting for. And it was actually quite an ambition to identify a singular activity that could serve all three of those things. That's pretty tough, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
To your point, if you've listened to any earlier episodes of this podcast, you'll know that I had a punitive relationship with exercise, where I would use it to effectively punish myself for what? Perhaps I'll die and never know. Right? But what I learned is that the body, it learned through illness and injury, it's a trailing indicator of your decisions as well as a leading indicator. You know, your emotions are leading indicators of something. But your physical state's also a trailing indicator of your decisions. So it reached a point for me where, you know, I was injured or ill enough on enough occasions where clearly the things I was doing, you know, my body didn't agree with. And, I learned to trust, ding, 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 trust that, the body was smarter than me. And if it's giving me positive reinforcement to this activity, then it's something worth sticking with. Something worth doing for life. So
did you have any other wins?
I did. This one is going to be really interesting. It's under the category of relaxation and establishment of boundaries. I carved out time to do genuinely absolutely nothing.
Oh yeah.
I watch soccer a ton on the weekends. I'll even play video games. As someone who has identified as a type A at times in the past, this was something that I would shun, as I looked for ways to make every minute of my day completely productive or contributing something. Or if I was doing these activities, beat myself up over it. So it was a huge win for me personally, sitting back and genuinely enjoying some of this stuff. Overall, I've had the most enjoyable quarter of my life here in 2022 so far. And, you know, I have relatively little prepared statements on this topic. Two thoughts, you know, come into my head in association with all these wins. And the first is that, yeah, I beat a two-year-long illness and battle with autoimmunity. And I landed an awesome job that I'm excited to begin in a couple of weeks. So the job is something that aligns with the durability, joy, and trust pieces for me as well. So again, these are like, I think it would have been common for so many people to put the, you know, the empirically true things like new job that I love as the top win. But for me, that was a side effect of wins that I worked on internally. That makes sense. And so the affirmation I came up with for all of these is that enjoyment is my currency. And so that will allow me to step into more enjoyment, because currency is something that we pursue, and people even come to us for currency, right? Like, you go to your employer for money. That's a form of currency, so I believe this will help me become a resource for others as well, being someone who is in a state of enjoyment.
Doing nothing is important.
Totally.
Completely. I really believe that. I think there's this element of shame that gets applied to people that take breaks, especially if you're talking to anyone that's like an optimizer on
100%.
Twitter or any of these people that are looking for, building wealth and all that. It's just like, you got to grind. This is kind of like the Gary Vee thing. But doing nothing is awesome. I have done a good amount of nothing the first quarter because I agree with you. Like I had a lot of good wins. I've been working my ass off and, I decided to appreciate doing absolutely nothing a lot more. I think that's one that I would have, if now that you mention it, I should have highlighted as well.
Yeah, I think, if we could get halfway off track for a second, I think the thing that a lot of these people don't tell you, the grinders, et cetera, is the secret is they're really good at delegating.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do everything themselves.
Well, these people, they sell a brand, and the brand is themselves. Yes. And so they have to make it appear as if they are doing the same things that their audience is doing. So if like Gary Vee with an entire company talks about how good he is at delegating, he's not going to relate to all like the solopreneurs that he's trying to inspire.
And also I think hard work is the lowest hanging fruit area where he can help people, because there's a good percentage of people that do want things to come easy. So yeah, there's a benefit to it. I learned this the hard way, certainly, being that perpetual type A grinder, tried to build a coaching business. And then I thought about, well, what percent of the things in the business would I actually delegate? And am now, this could be considered a win as well, imminently, signing on with business partners to be part of a coaching company where I delegate that percentage of things away and I only get to do the things I want to do.
Exactly.
I learned that the value of doing everything yourself is minimal.
100%, man. Even when you do it yourself, you delegate through technology.
Right.
So even these solopreneurs that are running their own businesses on their own, they're delegating in ways that don't necessarily require people, but is still fundamentally delegation. Cool. I enjoyed listening to your wins. I think although they were structured differently than mine.
Oh yeah.
My favorite part of yours were the affirmations. I think you have a talent for crystallizing these deeply thought about and complex ideas into like one or two sentences that are universal. So like someone, enjoyment is your currency. Someone could take that and apply it in their life really easily. And they're flexible and malleable in that way. And I really enjoy that about how you crystallize the wins.
Compliment received, my friend.
What is the win that you're looking for in the next quarter?
Win for Q2 is presence for sure, especially now that I've, you know, I mean, we're always realigning, right? So I'll say for at the moment, I'm about as aligned as I've ever felt with my day-to-day activities. So, you know, being way more present with, you know, the things that I'm doing at a given time, which, you know, when you've got a wedding on your calendar in that quarter, it's, you know, you really want to enjoy that experience. Yeah. And I'm enjoying all of the, like, the buildup, right? That is part of it. You know, stamping the invite envelopes and deciding, well, whether I want to dance to 2 minutes and 30 seconds of this song versus just the whole song, and like answering these questions, you know, enjoying that, like being with the, you know, that whole experience as it's happening. And yeah, the new job will be something I did because it represented the maximum opportunity to meet new people, learn new skills, capitalize on the ones I have, and required the most courage of me to do. And I'm really looking forward to that being something that calls that presence out of me. Like, when I'm in that, I know I'll be there because it challenges me at my core in the ways I want to be challenged. I know this, and, you know, we could use this, you know, ending as sort of a, like a Marvel movie scene ending, like preview into what we talk about next. But I've really been spending my time between ending the job I'm at and the beginning of the next one, imagining, like meditating, whatever you want to call it, in the emotion of shaking hands with new people and striking deals and listening. And like, I'm feeling what those things are like now. That's something I believe in my core is part of manifestation. I'm seeing that happen and feeling that happen more and more and more. I noticed that it was happening to me at first, and I started calling more of it out. And the fact that it started happening to me was an indication to me that I'd made a lot of the right decisions, a lot of the right choices leading up to this. So, yeah, I'm prepared for whatever comes next. And you know, it was a moment of, well, you know, I'll be damned if I miss out on the opportunity to really experience these things in live color. You know,
presence is a good one that resonates with me. Yeah. I my wife and I are going to Croatia in a couple in May, and you know, my grandma's my last living grandparent. She's like 84 85. You know, probably be the last time I get to hang out with her in person.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, presence in that moment is going to be important. And then, you know, obviously through this whole like pregnancy thing and preparing to be a dad, like remembering to be present through all of it is going to be just as important for me too.
I think the defining trait of a great dad is that you are present. Not just like literally, right? I mean, society can place a low bar on a good dad literally just showing up, but I think the expectation of a son or daughter is that you are present emotionally, physically, to have conversations and to understand. Like that's the defining trait of a good dad, in my opinion. I've never done it, but
yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think that is the fundamental thing. And it's funny. I'd say one of my goals for this year is also to not watch football on Sundays. Like, I don't want to spend 8 hours a day watching football, when, especially when I have a kid, you know, spend time with the kid. My biggest focus right now is learning how to like build an audience on social media and starting to become more of a content creator. This is a vehicle to do that. And you know, last year I focused on improving my communication skills and influence skills, as I talked about earlier, and I was successful at that. So now I have more confidence to try to branch out and start figuring out how to supplement my income, because man, daycare and all the other shit you got to buy for a kid.
Oh yeah.
It really starts to build up, you know?
Yeah.
So cool. We should do these every quarter and see how we did. We can listen back to these episodes and see if we actually accomplished what we said we wanted to.
Yep.
All right. Let's wrap up there.
Friends, family, audience of Mentality Monsters, really hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a blast for me personally to record. I'm sure that's the case, you know, for Fedja as well. It was a huge amount of fun. And yeah, though it had been some time between, you know, publishing episodes, that fell right in alignment with, you know, our rest and doing nothing. You know, to the point of the conversation about the culture of, you know, needing to do things 24/7 to grind and everything. It was like, yeah, this is a fun endeavor for us. We took some time to realign. This was a really fun starting point, and just continue to stick with us and look for some fun evolution of the podcast over the next couple months. So follow us, subscribe, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know the deal. We truly appreciate it. Thank you all for listening.